From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the Law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Luke chapter 14 and verse 10. Friend, go up higher. When first the life of grace begins in the soul, we do indeed draw near to God, but it is with great fear and trembling. The soul, conscious of guilt and humbled thereby, is overawed with the solemnity of its position. It is cast to the earth by a sense of the grandeur of Jehovah in whose presence it stands. With unfeigned bashfulness it takes the lowest room. But in afterlife, as the Christian grows in grace, although he will never forget the solemnity of his position, and will never lose that holy awe which must encompass a gracious man when he's in the presence of the God who can create or can destroy, yet his fear has all its terror taken out of it. It becomes a holy reverence, and no more an overshadowing dread. He is called up higher, to greater access to God in Christ Jesus. Then the man of God, walking amid the splendors of deity, and veiling his face like the glorious cherubim with those twin wings, the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ, will, reverent and bowed in spirit, approach the throne. And seeing there a God of love, of goodness, and of mercy, he will realize rather the covenant character of God than his absolute deity. He will see in God rather his goodness than his greatness, and more of his love than of his majesty. Then will the soul, bowing still as humbly as aforetime, enjoy a more sacred liberty of intercession. For while prostrate before the glory of the infinite God, it will be sustained by the refreshing consciousness of being in the presence of boundless mercy and infinite love, and by the realization of acceptance in the Beloved. Thus the believer is bidden to come up higher, and is enabled to exercise the privilege of rejoicing in God and drawing near to Him in holy confidence, saying, Abba, Father. So may we go from strength to strength and daily grow in grace, till in Thine image raised at length, we see Thee face to face.
Oh,
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. The angel said to the shepherds, Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. From Let the Bible Speak, may you have a blessed and Christ-filled Christmas. Today, Dr. Cairns begins his final message in this series on the law of God. In treating each of the Ten Commandments, Dr. Cairns now comes to the last one, Thou shalt not covet. As we'll see, this commandment brings the Decalogue full circle. For God began it by forbidding idolatry. The New Testament equates covetousness with idolatry. Here, God probes the very depths of our hearts, stripping away mere outward conformity to His law. As David said in Psalm 51, God desires truth in the inward parts. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce this message on the 10th commandment.
The 10th of the 10 commandments. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. There's a striking similarity between the beginning of the Ten Commandments and their end. They begin in commandment number one by probing the attitude of the heart, and then they proceed to deal with various acts and decisions that flow from that attitude. Now, when we come to the 10th commandment, we find that having enumerated throughout the commandments many acts of sin, the law of God comes full circle once again to make a final search of the heart and of its inmost inclinations. We notice that in the first commandment, the Lord commences by prohibiting idolatry. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And in the 10th commandment, he ends on the same note. For he says, thou shalt not covet. We remember the words of the inspired apostle in Colossians 3 verse 5, that covetousness is idolatry. The word covet means simply to desire or to set your heart upon. As a word, it may indicate an innocent desire or even a righteous desire. For example, when the Lord Jesus said, and you'll find this in Luke 22, when the Lord Jesus said, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you, he said literally, with lust or with longing. The same word is translated in these various ways. Have I desired or strongly desired that I may eat this Passover with you? Again, when the bride in the Song of Solomon said she sat down under the shadow of her beloved with great delight, it is the word with great desire. Paul told the Corinthians, covet earnestly the best gifts. And he told Timothy, if any man desire, the word is the one that's translated in 1 Timothy 6:10 as covet after. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth. And this is the verb that often is translated lust or covet. He desireth a good work. Now obviously when the 10th commandment says thou shalt not covet, it is not prohibiting strong desire. I read a commentator in the book of Romans just this last week who tried to interpret what Paul was writing there in Romans 7 on this 10th commandment as a commandment that prohibited all strong desire. And I had to wonder, what on earth is this fellow talking about? The Bible is not the book of the Stoic. The Bible is not some holy book of some kind of Buddhist philosophy that would have you without desire. That's not what it's condemning, strong desire as such. What it is condemning is very clearly sinful desire. What it involves is desiring particularly what belongs to someone else. And this commandment is one that would give rise in our minds to words like lust, in the sense that we understand that word. An old-fashioned word that is still retained in the Bible, and I think we would do well to understand it rather than excise it from the Scriptures, is the old word concupiscence. And it is simply a combination of Latin terms that means to desire with, and the idea is with intensity. And of course it is particularly inordinate or sinful desire with which we associate concupiscence. There's another word that is passing out of our vocabulary nowadays. It's cupidity. It's that word that indicates again an inordinate love of things upon which we should not set our love, and especially an inordinate love of things that belong to someone else. In a word, when God says thou shalt not covet, he is prohibiting a craving for things which he has placed out of bounds. That's what he means by thou shalt not covet. Our shorter catechism tells us what this 10th commandment forbids, and it tells us, as it does in all the commandments, what it requires. It's very simple. It forbids all discontent with our own estate, all envying or grieving at the good of our neighbor, and all inordinate motions, those are motions of the heart or soul, and affections toward anything that is our neighbor. That's what this commandment forbids. What it requires is full contentment with our own condition and a right and charitable frame of spirit toward our neighbor and all that is his. So, in a few lines, that sums up the tenth commandment. John Calvin, with his usual penetration into the inmost meaning of Scripture. I say that because I believe, despite all the crazy things that have been written by ignorant men about the great Genevan reformer, we owe much of the modern understanding, by modern I mean that in a good sense, the modern understanding of the meaning of the text of Scripture, we owe it to the insight of this mighty man of God. Calvin, looking at this tenth commandment, said, since the Lord would have the whole soul pervaded with love, any feeling of an adverse nature must be banished from our minds. The sum, therefore, will be that no thought be permitted to insinuate itself into our minds and inflame them with a noxious concupiscence or an evil desire tending to our neighbor's loss. That is the tenth commandment. Thou shalt not covet. Let me put it in one sentence. The tenth commandment condemns covetousness, and it commands contentment in loving service to God and to our neighbor. The tenth commandment condemns covetousness, and it commands contentment in loving service to God and to our neighbor. Now, in the past, I have normally taken time to show you what the commandment requires and what it forbids. And we'll cover that tonight, but in a slightly different fashion. As I pondered this, I recognized first that this commandment makes us see the depths of our sinfulness. The very first thing that you have to establish when you come to study the Ten Commandments is, why did God include this one at all? After all, if we understand this commandment to mean, thou shalt not look with desire upon thy neighbor's wife, isn't that covered in the seventh commandment? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus said it was, for he said, whosoever looks upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So the seventh commandment not only condemns the act, but the look that is unclean. And if we focus on the part that deals with possessions, if we understand the tenth commandment simply to say, thou shalt not set thy heart upon thy neighbor's possessions, isn't that covered by the eighth commandment, which says, thou shalt not steal? Surely, if the intent to commit adultery is adultery, then the intent to commit theft is theft. So, if the substance of the tenth commandment is really already stated in the seventh and the eighth commandments, the question has to be faced. Why does the Lord mention it at all? Indeed, why does he choose this as the great consummation of the ten words in which he incorporated all his law? There are very good reasons why he does so. I think the first reason is this, that we need the repetition that spiritual obedience does not consist merely in outward observances, but in heart holiness. All the seventh and the eighth commandments do include that truth, but the tenth commandment isolates it. That is something we need to learn. There is a great deal of the Pharisee in every one of us that will say, look, I don't do this, I don't do that, I do this and I do the other thing. Look at all these external marks of holiness. And with those external marks of holiness, we would enfold ourselves and cover a heart that's corrupt. God is saying in the 10th commandment, repeating the truth, that holiness is not merely external, but in truth, it is internal. And then I think that this 10th commandment is much more than a repetition. In other words, while it touches on what the 7th and the 8th commandments teach, it carries the teaching very, very much further. The word desire or covet may or may not lead to action. When you desire something, that desire may produce the fruit of action. But on the other hand, it may not. The 7th commandment and the 8th commandment condemn that evil desire that plans and produces the actual commission of sin. So God is saying in those commandments that the commission of sin is wrong, but the desire that plans the deed, the mind that works out the sin in advance of the action, is just as wicked as the deed. What the 10th commandment teaches is that even when the desire produces no action, even, and I will go further, because according to Matthew 5, sometimes the look of immorality does not produce the act, but it produces the fantasy of the act. And the 10th commandment is saying that even when the desire does not produce the act, when it does not even produce the fantasy of the act, yet in itself it is sin. In other words, the 10th commandment not only commands the binding, or condemns, should I say, the binding of lust, but the being of lust. It says you'll not lust, but it says the very existence of lust in the soul is sin.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.